Arby's, we have the meat. Arby's, we have the meat. Arby's, we have the meat. Arby's, we have the meat.
Muskie Shop, we have the meat. In stock now, super big suckers.
Big meat!
Arby's, we have the meat. Arby's, we have the meat.
All right, folks, Arby's. Welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay, what are you doing, my man?
Steve, how are you?
I am cold and wet.
Oh, another day on the water.
Another day on the water. Anyway, yeah, it is.
I've been slaving over a hot computer all day.
Slaving over a hot computer. I'll tell you, dude, it is the cold snap. Everybody's been dealing with it. It is cold snap stuff. So, because of what works during cold snaps here in a few, we are going to talk about big meat, big rubbers.
Yes.
Gotta get that. But anyway, some of you may have seen, and some of you may have not seen, there is a new app. It's not just all about Muskie 360 anymore. There is the Muskie Shop app. Ta-da!
Yep. Ba-da-da-da.
It is.
It's amazing. It's unbelievably cool. It really is.
The thing about it, there's been a lot of slaving away. The beautiful Jody Michael has slaved away to create the Muskie Shop app. And the thing is this, what I dig about it, and you guys are like, oh, you know, I already go online. A, you can open it immediately or right where you want to be for the store. But what's cool for me and what she worked on forever is you can actually favorite things on there. So it's like, okay, I know I like Bondi baits and I like XL toads and I like reef diggers. You know, you can just heart those things, go in there and be like, boom, you're looking at what you like immediately, sort of like a wish list kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And if you're like me where, you know, you own 8 million baits, but you fish the same 10, you can go back and it'll show you, once you're logged in, it'll show you all your orders. So you're like, I lost a bait. Was that this? Was that, you know? So you can see.
That's going to be helpful for a lot of people. Oh, yeah, that happens a lot. Absolutely.
And so I'm a creature of habit where I'm getting the same crap all the time. So that's helpful. And plus, man, it loads like lightning, you know, all that stuff. There's going to be app exclusive sales and all kinds of stuff down the pike, That's a pun, but you know, you'll be able to check out some stuff on there, but it's just super easy because you've got everything right there in front of you. The same great service in a different way.
So, I think the checkout's even quicker too, if you can believe that.
Well, the thing is this, so any way that you pay for stuff, you can do it through the app, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be Amazon Pay or Apple Pay or all the stuff.
PayPal.
Wampum. If you pay them Wampum, we accept that. But just any way you want to do it. But it's cool. It's handy to have on your phone. Download it. It's free, as always, free on the App Store, Android, and the Apple App Store. Muskie Shop. That's all you got to look up. Muskie spelled with a Z. Shop spelled with a Q, Muskie Shop. But no, it's cool. And like I said, hopefully it'll make your lives easier. That's all we're looking for all the time. So you got the Muskie 360 app to check all your hot fishing info, and you can get all the hot muskie baits at the Muskie Shop app.
Yeah.
Wow. And if you're Amish and you don't listen to podcasts, you can still fill out the order form and mail nickels to the store, Jay.
I've seen it happen.
They do it, folks.
We're very flexible. We can handle it.
You know, it's one of those things.
Plus, we got Elmer, and you know, if it comes down to count and change, and figuring out denominations and, you know, currency, Elmer's an expert, top level.
Elmer still pays for things with Civil War currency.
No comment.
But anyway. It's just a convenience thing for you, dudes. So, like, slightly different from the website, but some still cool stuff on there. Check it out. Give it a download. You know, give it the old thumbs up. Check her out. Yeah. That's going on.
And
new
just came up. It's up and running, and I mean it's flawless. Everything works great. You know,
instant.
You expect that with when you're launching stuff like that there's gonna be some kind of, you know, glitch or something's not. Jody did a great job, and
yeah,
you know it's flawless. Like I said,
well, like I said, if you're somebody like me,
simplicity.
Jay, I clear my search history nonstop, so having apps is good. So, if I die, clear my search history. That's all I'm saying.
You got it. You okay. got it, buddy.
Immediately, because if somebody looks through my phone, it's going to be grim. Okay. Anyway, speaking of stuff, guys, check it out. Anyway, couple cool things that have came out, and this has to do with just the nature of things. We don't talk about what's really going on in the world, but you guys all know. I'm going to turn my heater back on. It's freezing. If you hear a little buzz in the back, I'm sorry. I'm cold. You hear it? Anyway, the deal is this, man. The supply chain for stuff and things is a mess, okay? Turn on your local news, and you'll see that the supply chain is screwed. It has been a struggle to get things. So we're going to talk about things that have shown up. And first and foremost,
we're going to stay on the positive side, is what you're
positive
saying.
Positive things of.
We're positive people.
Positive people. We're all sensitive people. Anyway, Abu Garcia finally turned out some reels.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Revo Toro Beast. Now, dudes, I'm telling you, I'm looking
thanks to the Palette King on that one. He scored a bunch of them, and this was not easy.
No.
Toro Beast, the T3 Beast, the new one, you know. I mean, we got the 60 height. We got all four models, left-hand and right-hand.
And that's the thing is I'm looking
right
now.
It's a great reel.
And it ain't for the fact of not trying. There is not a Tranks. There's not a Booze. There's not Calcuttas. There's not Dakotas. You name it. And it's not because the Muskie Shop's not trying to get them in stock. It's because there is no stock. So if you
not in this country,
no, not in this country,
America.
If you want a new reel or you're looking for like a pro level reel, they showed up. They will, when they are gone, they are gone, right? Because it is, and I'm telling you from inside baseball, I've warned you guys, buy it when you can get it. The supply chain for fishing equipment, no one cares, right? It's not like this is not like important stuff. In comparison to other crap trying to make it in.
Well, yeah, you know, you got the Christmas season right around the corner, exactly. And reels are traditionally a great gift.
Right.
You know,
buy yourself one.
I mean, rod's a great gift too, but they're really difficult to wrap. Right. And I think a lot of women, when they buy for their husbands who musky fish,
right.
It's like, oh, a reel, you know, nice little easy to wrap. And it's not a $20 purchase, obviously. You know, it's just like, I want to get them something cool. Here's a new reel, you know, in terms of reels, you know, you're not going to find a Tranks 400 in the country, but you know, thank goodness you got a good supply of some great, new Daiwas, these Abu Garcias we just talked about. Yeah.
And the pins.
And these, that's right. We got these different. Two new pins in here. Yeah.
That's the thing. Me and Jay were talking about these because Pin is like one of those companies where you go, that's a really good reel. We just brought them into the
quality.
Store. Which, but well, you think
look
salt,
at their background
though.
with saltwater. Exactly. It's like you think about those $800 saltwater reels that have the power to reel in Mako sharks all day. You know, it's just like, okay, they got tough components. No. If it can handle that.
So they've got
I'm not saying they're using the same components in these reels, but no. I mean, you want to get a company with that kind of background.
No, it's not like some, not Chinese.
Yeah, we're checking them out. You know, these things are relatively very new. It's called the Squall and the Fathom.
Fathom.
And they're low profile. They look like, just what all the musky low profiles look like, you know, with the gear dropped on the handle end. They're very slim. You know, they look kind of like the Abu Beast or a Tranks 400 shape wise. They're light. I don't know.
I wouldn't give them.
I think those Squalls are only $200.
The thing is this, though. It's you look at new reels, and it's one of those deals where you go for something different. But it's like it's pin. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason I was sort of worth bringing up because you go,
right, it's not like we brought in a real
Jimmy's Fishing, yeah.
Yeah, the Chukahama, you right, know, from 429L. You right, know, it's like, whoa, well, right, okay, yeah, I've seen those on eBay a while ago, you know.
Right,
okay,
right.
Big risk.
Yeah, it's pin. That's, the, like I said, that's the only cool thing about it because, you know, they make good stuff, and it's just like,
yeah,
you know, heck, dude, I'll tell you flat out, and I love Akuma stuff, but like when Akuma came out, it might have been the Chokahoma. You know, you're going, it takes a lot of time, but I'm going
to
check.
Yeah, it took some time to, right, yeah,
right,
get some kind
yeah,
of
but pin
solid script. Groundwork.
I'll say this, though, and it is what it is. If you need it for next year, if you've got it on the brain, get it now, boys. I'm, and that's not a push, dude. It's like,
no, it's just, yeah, it's a great gift idea, and it's timely. You know, it's
yeah,
like
all the wives that listen to the podcast. I'm saying when you want to buy yourself something, because
no, when you make your list for your spouse, you know,
oh yeah,
it's like it'll be a good one to put down.
That's how that works.
Because you can get them now.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Who knows what's gonna be around next March and April when when the masses are gearing up for season, you know?
It's going to be
it's kind of scary.
Screw fest is what it's going to be.
Won't be that bad.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a matter of they can get the stuff here. So
positive, Steve.
No,
stay positive.
Not my cup of tea.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
As Tyler says.
But, you know, anyway.
Shout out to Tyler from PA. Stay classy, buddy.
There you go. Wonderful, Jay. That's great. Making friends and influence of people. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Just saying hi.
What I would say is if you're on the fence, and it's not like, hey, you got to get this or get that. If you're thinking about gear, and I mean like the important stuff,
mm-hmm,
reels, or you're thinking about, obviously, I mean, heck, everybody knows that I just got the new boat, got the new low, which was a freaking miracle, right?
Absolutely.
Yet
sure
again,
was.
I get like the last freaking boat motor on planet Earth and all this stuff. They were like, I think we got enough metal to make this thing. So, yeah.
In 3 weeks?
Nah, it was five.
Well, but, yeah, for delivery time and everything, but they put that thing together. I mean, they bent over backwards. It's unbelievable service.
Well, it's
I
it's,
think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but you're already fishing on it. You got what? You got 2 or 3 days on it.
Yep.
This week, right? It's awesome.
Thanks, Jay. Anyway, the fine folks at Lowe put that sucker together and got her banged out really quick. Yeah, but it was a struggle for just down to the you know, heck,
yeah,
we're having discussion. What?
I'm just saying it's good to hear a success story. Vehicles, big items like that.
Well,
you know,
it boiled down to a matter of, do we have the hinges? You know, so I said, we're talking gear and I'm not pressing on it. But if I'm telling you, if it's on your mind or you're thinking about doing it, do it sooner than later, just because we sort of know the inside baseball of where things are at and where it's like manufacturers having troubles. But now those are big wins. And if anybody buys like one of the Pin Squalls or the Fathoms, let me know what you think. I'm going to check one out and sort of give feedback on that, because it's sort of cool, because like before the low profiles were out, there were some pin round reels that were pretty rocking and rolling.
Yeah, a few years ago. Right, mm-hmm, right.
So
yeah, they're gone now, I think.
Yeah,
that's a good point. If anyone picks one up and tries one, let me know as well, too. Shoot us an email or something. I'd like to hear your feedback on them.
Yeah.
Because they are truly new to us. So
anyway,
we don't have much more, you know, fishing days left in our climate here.
Well, that's because you live in the tundra. Anyway, the other thing that showed up are the Spitfire baits. If you guys are looking for those,
we got a load of Spitfire yesterday.
So anyway, they showed up and they churned these things out. Ben got a ton of these things done. Let's look at what we got. Minis are in. Kamikaze mids are in. The Musky Bamas are in the mid. Jay, you just did a ton of photos on the new ones. You got the Jokers in. There's the Black Perch, the White Lightning, and a lot of this stuff is stocked up. It's the same deal you just heard from that end of things, where it's just like getting them in. I know it's not chatterbait season per se, but it is Musky Bama season. So a ton of that stuff's in. I don't know how limited this stuff is showing up. Yeah, there's not many of them. Anyway, I sound like a bad sales pitch, but just letting you guys know, if you've been looking for them, They are here. And then, Jay, you did the other thing with Josh there at Wreck and Wreck. What's going on with the underboss?
We got them in. Nice. We've got a handful of them in. I think there might be one left. Maybe. Have to check the website, I guess. Yeah, they look awesome. And, yeah, you were talking about that last week on the podcast that you got the, I think the first model that he designed, right?
Yeah, he and I sat down. We did these things. Basically, I had a Lakewood for a long time, and it's got fabric on it. I'm not bashing it, but for what I do, I hang so many baits off these things. They're stuck in the fabric nonstop. So we did a all-plastic one. So from head to toe, this thing is plastic, so you can't get caught in it. And it's got a tool holder, so it's going to hold Nip-X, it's going to hold your jaw spreaders, it's going to hold literally your hook file, everything you need to land or take care of your baits right there. Wow, convenience. No, it's cool. Sort of a pet project with Josh and me, sort of designing this thing and making it kick ass. So it's got everything you need. It is super easy to install because it's got the two screw-ins for it. I sound like a bad infomercial, Jay. When's the last time you bought a salad shooter, Jay?
Nah, that thing that Josh came out with, that thing is so well designed. It's just really it's an instrument more than anything.
Yeah, it's badass. So.
It really is. Yeah, it's got every kind of little gadget hanging on there for every little nook and cranny you want to store something on.
I've had it on the boat. Okay, so I waited. He sent it to me after Lo was so kind to take care of the new boat. Thank you, Lo. Thank you, Marine Works. Thank you, freaking Mercury. Anywho, got this thing in from Josh, and it's built super, super sturdy, but the cool thing, it's got the set screws. You guys probably heard him last week talking about the thing, but I waited to put it on this boat to test it out, so I had the box on the new boat, and I love it just because it's easy to deal with. So there's like a hair, I think there's one left. Sort of boutique-y, $179, not going to lie. It's not the cheapest thing on earth, but it is good stuff. Anyway, goodness gracious, call now. So it's like infomercial time, but we at least, Jay, that's the thing that we at least have to, I hate to do it because like we don't talk about the specifics of this, that, and the other all the time, but when stuff's coming in, it's going out as quick as it comes in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the fact that there isn't too much new stuff coming out this day and age. Manufacturers are tight.
Well, and the thing for me is like, and you guys have heard me talk about the Titan, and tons of you are waiting on the Titan. Dudes, that thing is sitting. It's coming. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it was supposed to be here in October. We're thinking maybe first of the year now. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. So it's literally, not to get too grim, and I'm being positive, but it's just the way it is with mass manufacturing and supply chain. Anyway, check out the stuff that's shown up. Jay, it is time for big rubber, big meats.
Yeah, we got some giant suckers in right now.
Giant suckers.
Huge.
Huge.
it's that time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year to talk about big suckers. Big rubber,
big suckers, big rubber. To be honest with you, when you're getting this late in the season for you guys, and where everybody else is in the season, Ohio, Pennsylvania, everywhere, you know, there's not a lot of stuff that you're not going to move a lot of fish on your top waters. You know, you're not going to move a lot of fish on that, and it's sort of like that combination, whether, you know, and it depends on where you're at. Some places you can have a sucker hanging off the boat and you still be casting, but it's just so effective whether they hit big rubber or they hit a sucker, having that combination. I really do look at it like a combo where it's just like, you know, you've got a 12-inch, 14-inch, up to what's the biggest you guys sell, like 16s, 18s, depending on what comes in?
Yeah. There's some 16s and 18s plus, you know, occasionally. Sure.
Having that and then ripping a bulldog, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is, and you'll get clients ask about, or people ask, like, you know, is it a guarantee with a sucker? And it just isn't, right? You still have to put it where it needs to be, and you still sometimes need to draw them in, right? And the trick is, a lot of times those big rubber presentations and leading them into the boat. You know, you if they're tight to structure, sometimes you got to get them up and get them moving. And that's why we're just going to talk about that, which is like
all the
big rubber stuff and sort of focus in on what not to do and the best time of year with some of this stuff. So just quickly going over. I mean, and I'm not talking mainly, you know, not Poseidons or swimming dogs, just your standards, your Medusas, your Bulldogs, you know, your Toads and Tubes as well, like the big sexy is what I'm thinking, the rip stop presentations.
Yeah.
For me, I'm a Bulldog guy. I know you like Medusas and like Tubes. We both like Tubes, but
yeah.
The setup and the sort of the configuration with some of this stuff is what's important. And you go, if you've never fished big rubber, and this might be 101 from a lot of it, but if you're like, hey, I'm not a big rubber person, you do need a setup for that, which is going to be what minimally I always fish extra heavy everything. But
That's going to be ideal. Yeah. A long rod, a very, very heavy rod, you know, in most rod brands, an extra heavy power.
Right.
It's got to be a very stout rod, and long rods are going to aid greatly in casting and retrieving that bait correctly.
Right. And for me, it's not about like, I don't know. I mean, what is the shield? I think my shield that I throw, the 9.6, and there's 9.6 coming, boys, but I throw the 9.6 extra heavy, and the 9-footer I use is an extra heavy for like everything. And I just want to be able to move that bait. And I think the one thing when it comes to like being able to just, whether I'm throwing a bucktail or just being able to pick up like a sand cat you saw in the video with Jay, I like to be able to move the hooks. And so like on the 101 end of that spectrum of having that extra heavy power, I feel like that rod, the stretch of the rod picks up so much faster on the extra heavy that I can move that plastic through its teeth and really get a good hook set.
Critical, for sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, if he grabs a hold of, say, a 12-inch tube, or a heck, just a Medusa or whatever it might be, if he's got a body shot on that thing, you have to move that bait. He's clamped on that bait, and we've got to move that bait in its mouth. That's why I'm just telling you, if you're not a big rubber guy and you want to get into it, having an extra heavy, whether it be, hell, what was the one, Jay, you'll know this on top of your head, St. Croix had just a specified rubber rod at one point. Remember that? It had like the padding on the back thing and all that. Am I crazy?
They've got a 9-foot Premier model. Yes.
Yeah. Where it's just like,
it's made for big. Yeah. That's like a, you know, extra heavy, you know, like,
yeah,
4 to 12 ounce type deal. Yeah.
Right.
They still make that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So it's just like specifically made for that, where it's a really, really, you know, hard action rod. And that's one thing, and late in the fall, I've seen it where guys are going out there, they're throwing, they're like medium heavy and going, why can't I throw a Bulldog or work it? So being able to move the bait through the water column easier and being able to penetrate with the hooks, because whether it be like a Deuce, you know, a Bulldog, even Toads, the Tubes, all your typical big rubber presentations, usually if they've headshot that bait, you've got to drill that thing home. So an extra heavy rod's going to be the thing. Obviously, your quicker pickup. So with that setup, the 6.3-1, even if you're fishing, you know, like a Bulldog or a Deuce again, even if you're fishing it slow, that fish is generally going to hit. And like we saw this summer on the Tubes, they're hitting that on the paws, right? Yeah. So the strike is not as, it's not this bombastic, just bone jarring strike a lot of times. He's pulling the slack out. So you need to pick that line up quickly to make contact with this fish. So we got to pick up the line, and now we've got to make contact, and now we've got to drive his teeth through the rubber. Which would parlay into this as far as like thought process on best hookup ratio on rubber, right? It's like, and I'm just riffing here, but The bigger the bait, I've always thought the lower hookup, right? So you get into what's the one, Jay? It's the Mega Medusa, the Medusa that's like
monster huge. Medusa is the biggest. Yeah, it's the monster size.
Right. That is a huge piece of rubber, which is also in the same sort of zone as what the Alpha Pounder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's the Alpha Pounder. These are ginormous, the biggest of the big rubber baits. And when a fish hits that, there's a ton of rubber. He could hit that bait anywhere and be far enough from a hook that you've got to move it. Right? What I like, and I'm just giving you guys tips and thoughts on this, and what me and Jay discovered a lot of times with these tubes, it seems like the hookup ratio is better on a tube because there's not as... When they hit the tube, it compresses.
Yeah, there's less my body mass, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So you get a Megadusa. Let's say you go like a Red October, the big sexy, right? The real big tube. Versus the Mega Monster Medusa. Now, they're different baits, different size profiles, but these tubes where they compress, you know, they're not going to have their teeth just dug into a hunk of plastic. You know, so it allows for a little bit of compression of the bait, and you can move it because so often with these fish, if they body shot or head shot them, there's just so much to move it through. Hence the need for the extra heavy rod, quick pickup, as far as just those basic components there of just sort of like what you need for your setup. But again, I mean, I'm looking here, I'm scrolling through the site. I mean, you don't have the biggest, I'm not saying the muskie shop, I'm just saying like as a muskie angler, there's not a massive selection of what's out there for stuff. You got Bulldogs, you got Medusas, you got tubes. Our buddy up in Canada, Mike from Waterwolf, he's got some stuff, but it's limited. You basically have three offerings. Am I crazy, Jay? Is there more?
Not a lot more. No, there isn't.
We got Savage Gear, like the Burbot.
Yeah, they make plastic stuff.
You know, but it's not the same presentation per se. You know, so I'd be remiss to not. What's the Susie Sucker? Huh?
Yep. Suic makes those. Yeah.
You know, you got that and you got your Whale Tail. So everything's sort of laying in the same world. And so to break down what they all do and sort of dig in, I've always thought that a bulldog's going to get down deeper quicker, right? It doesn't have as much body. It doesn't have as much flat area. So if you need to fish deep, and this is like, and I'm trying to summarize, me and Jay talked about this before the podcast, summarize as many questions as we can about big rubber and then sucker fishing. Like, so if I were to look at what's going to get down there the quickest, you know, a pounder versus a Mega Monster Medusa, I think the fall rate on a pounder is quicker, right?
I'd agree.
Because it's a matter of surface area, right? Medusas seem to have a little more hang because it's a flatter, slightly wider bottom.
Of course, it has something to do with the amount of internal weight, too.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, it's rate of fall, its angle of fall. With that being said, mm-hmm. that's sort of one of these outliers is like on the Whale Tail. Right?
So opposite end of the selection. Yep.
Right. It's a different ball game, but with that bait, if you needed to get it down there, it seems like that one's actually easier to modify and add a bunch more weight to.
Yeah. Right.
So it's 13.5. I'm looking right now on the site. It's 13.5 stock, but you know, there's like you got screw in weights. You can just screw a weight into this thing. So in sort of that realm of the biggest of the big, the Mega Monster Medusa, the Pounder, that 14-inch Whale Tail is like giant, dude.
A huge tail, like, and they have a slow fall rate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like they do. It's like, oh, it's got a lot of weight on it, you know, and it's a jig. It's nothing more than a hugely oversized jig, but they do have a slow. It's a slow presentation. It's like a work in a shallow version of a Bulldog or Medusa kind mm-hmm. of,
but. Yeah. You could get it down there pretty easy with the screw in stuff.
Yeah, easy to modify.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And one of these baits was like, okay, it's a giant grub. But so starting with like the biggest of the big, I'll walk it through it. So What are there any other than a mega monster Medusa, a pounder, 14-inch whale tail, as far as like our biggest of big stuff to walk through? I don't think so. Am I crazy? Let me look here again.
Yeah.
That's sort of like the 12-inch tube maybe in that conversation. So to demystify these baits, though, right? So this big, big, big rubber, if you're not a big rubber guy, you're looking to get into it or you're trying to up your game, those baits will catch plenty of 30-some-inch fish, right? It's shocking how small a muskie is sometimes it'll hit that. Yeah. Do they even make any 2-pounders anymore?
It's just on a limited basis, like a custom basis. Judging from the amount of stuff he's made this year, it would be difficult to get.
I've not even thought about that in a while. Folks, if you've never heard of one, they exist, and it's not a fun experience by any means. It's just, you know what you get. You know what you get those for, Jay? It's to tell people you have one. What I can say is this: let's say you're fishing breaks, or you're fishing these deeper edges. Those bigger baits are going to be a good way to get down there, and the water displacement is huge. So, you know, if you're trying to attract something, and the reason I'm getting there is we're talking about big meat with big rubber. A lot of times, these biggest of the big presentations are really a good way to get attention, right? So you might not get hit on that mega monster Medusa, or you might not get hit on the pounder, but the water displacement and the action they're kicking off is just so big, it's going to get attention. It's going to get a look. But really what I would go from this, and just another thing people have been asking this week, is where and when do you throw this stuff? Some of the biggest rubber you got, Jay.
Where and when?
Yeah,
right now. If your water temperatures are basically sub-60, post turnover, after and below, 55 degrees, which a lot of regions are right now, it's prime time. Slow the tempo down, big targets. And like you said, you just kind of circled around with the whole, you're throwing this visible attention getting presentation. Yeah. What's that doing? It's decoying in. You're hopefully going to draw that sucker in. I shouldn't say sucker.
You're going to draw him into your sucker.
You should draw that bad boy into your sucker. And great time to have live bait, if local regulations permit it. And I know you can in Wisconsin now. It's not an issue anymore. But and the amount of live bait, a lot of guys in Minnesota now are doing really well. Oh, Greg Thomas was on last week talking about that. He's using, with great success, using live bait over there on the big water.
And it's one of those deals where, if you don't know exactly where they're at, we're just getting at some of those big presentations. I like the Alpha Dog. We did a video talking about Alpha Dogs. To me, it's a little less impact. So if you're like one of these guys, you're like, I don't want to huck the biggest stuff, but you're still getting really good action out of them, right? You're getting a lot of thump.
Huge, with that extra large tail.
It's the tail off of
amazing.
A pounder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without all the weight, yeah.
Yeah, without all the weight.
So that's a good thing. And it's just, there's not, man, people ask, well, how do you work these things? There's not a wrong way to work them. I've seen fish caught, literally straight retrieving bulldogs and Medusas. But, watch one of the videos. I mean, there's the big rubber, big wind video and some other stuff, but pulls and pauses.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And that's a really good point. It's like, how do you work it right now? In the summer, in the high temperature months, everyone's looking at quicker retrieves for the most part and super erratic rips, pulling, pausing, like you were just talking about. And everything's just slowed down to the point where you can't work it as incorrectly now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can get away with it. Like you just said, you could straight retrieve that. I think it's always much better with any types of big plastics like that to have some type of pause or erratic twitch type movement to it. But you can work it much slower and let that thing, because they're always working, the tails on these things or tentacles, whatever you got going.
Right.
Most of these Medusas and bulldogs, they have tails, they're always flowing. They're always moving.
That's the thing, though, is like, if you watch these baits come through the water, the pull, and you guys that are listening, you're like, oh my God, we know all this. We've caught a billion fish on. You know, the majority of hits come on the paws, right? The bait is still working. That's the thing. It is falling, and the tails on these baits are still working, right? So you're ripping it forward. It's coming up the water column, and when you stop reeling and you just let it fall, you let it pause, that thing's descending, but the tail is undulating, and that's where your strikes are going to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're new to the game, like a bunch of people have been messaging about, allow that time where you go, pull, give it one, give it two, give it 3 seconds. Allow different lengths of pausing, right? You don't have to work that bait the entire time because the bait's working without you. You know, it just simply is. It's the same rule of thumb we talk about all the time with gliders. I mean, if you work a glider all the way back to the boat, zigzag, zigzag, zigzag the whole time, guess what you're going to get? It's a follow. Right? If you work the crap out of a bulldog or a Medusa the whole time, guess what you're going to get? A follow. You know, follows, sometimes they convert in figure eights, but you're going to get way more strikes. Just pull it, sit there, pull it again. Give it some breaks. Give that bait time to do what it does best, which is trigger a strike on the fall. I would say this because, Jay, we tore them up on tubes. Like, I know we like the 10s. We fish some of the 12s, but like, what are some of your tips like with the tubes? I mean, as far as like the action and
well, I don't know. I'm not sure if you talked to Jim about it, but he went out last weekend. Today's Wednesday. He went out, like Sunday or something. They had an excellent action day, you know, and we've had some pretty cold weather here, pretty, you know, like highs in the 40s and 30s and stuff. But he missed a couple fish on tubes, and they had sucker out the whole time. I'm not saying this is going to happen
right
to anybody else.
Right.
You know, it's just like if anybody else tried the same thing, they'd probably catch fish on suckers, you know. Mm-hmm. Go figure. But, I think he had Tim in the boat with him, the mayor. And he missed one too. And no trolling involved. They were all casting, and it was all on plastics, and they didn't have – a fish look at a sucker. Of course, you know, everyone that went out the next day had some good fish caught on suckers. So it's up and down. Every day is a new day in the fall. You never know what you're going to get and when that window is going to open, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, is like having the meat hanging over the side of the boat. And I just, the way I approach it every year is just like, I need to be throwing the rubber regardless. You know, I'm too ADD to sit there and just like, all right, we got a sucker out, boys. Let's play checkers.
Yeah, wait for the clicker.
Right, wait for the clicker.
Oh, to answer your question, yeah, I think Jim was retrieval-wise is what you're getting at. I think what those guys are doing in their 48-degree water at the time was using a lot of the same retrieve styles. Mm-hmm. And we've all seen the tube screamer work a tube. I mean, right. He knows what he's doing, but he was just slowing it down. Mm-hmm. Hate to beat a dead horse, but, you know, it was a much slower retrieve, and he was getting the bait a little bit deeper. They were working deeper breaks and working deeper weed lines on some bigger bodies of water around the shop area.
Well, that's the big revelation from the Muskie 360 podcast. Slow down, Jay. That's, you know, you just said beat the dead horse.
We got
one piece of advice. Slow down. We can summarize every episode of the show. Slow down, please. That's the thing, though, is like you can't approach this fall going into winter fishing in that same thought process, you know. Where, I mean, on occasion you can get one cooking with some juice, but that's going to be an active fish, you know. But I'm telling clients now, when that bait hits the water, give it 3 seconds before you do anything.
Yes.
That's probably the biggest thing. Like,
and you know what makes it easier? Is if you're using some boat control, look at the speed you're moving. If you've got a locator that's got your current speed on there, mm-hmm. it's very helpful. And I'm totally on this game here. That it's like, if you're going over a half mile an hour, that's the drift speed you're mm-hmm. using. It's way too fast.
Oh, absolutely.
You start getting down there to like 0.3, you know, it's like it's going to be a lot easier fishing at the right tempo.
Well, it just boils down to just the overall vibe or the overall speed on the boat, which is like, if you're boogieing, you know, if you got that trolling motor on 8 working a brake line, well, you're going to end up retrieving fast trying to keep up with the boat. Slow everything down. And that becomes a matter of patterning, though, for a lot of people where you go, well, I don't know where the fish are, so I really got to cover water. This time of year, you need to know where the fish are. You know, you're not going to be able to cover as much water. Even when it comes to trolling, you're not going to troll 5 miles an hour and be very effective this time of year. Right? I'm cooking with gas. The baits are moving too fast. You know, you can't lose sight of, and it sounds, it's redundant, it's beating the dead horse. The horse is beaten to a pulp here on the podcast, Jay. There's just a puddle of blood left, and we're smacking it still.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead. The coroner said, listen, that horse has been dead for months. But we're still beating it, folks. Is the water temperature, right?
So water temperature
is equal to metabolism, which is equal to activity level. The colder the water, the slower they're moving, right? Yep. They can't turn on the summer topwater heat very often. I mean, on occasion. And if you look at the outliers, well, Jim Bob Mahutchin got one burning double tens. You know, it's not that's the John McNeac season opener plan, you know? It's just like, You've got to sort of play to what's going on in the environment. So slowing your boat control, I think, is the hardest thing for people. You know, you come out of this transition, you've been really covering some weed beds, and now you got to slow things down. So boat control, there needs to be a corollary between boat control and retrieval speed. I would even say this, and as an aside, is those trolling passes. If you're a troller and you're doing stuff, this is the time of year that 2 to 2.5 to anything sub 3 matters, right? And if you don't get that with your outboard or with a kicker, a lot of times you can be really effective trolling with your trolling motor, believe it or not. You know, you got a remote control steer trolling motor, sit in the seat and steer that thing with your thumb. And it can be hyper effective. Now, that goes back to what Jay was saying about you got to slow that down. You need to have your late fall, early winter patterning down, right? You need to sort of go in with a game plan. We've covered seasonality and all this stuff a million times. But, you know, in the basic, it's going to be those deeper breaks. It's going to be these structural elements, right? Mm-hmm. The weeds are dead. The bait fish aren't shallow anymore. So we need to be looking at humps, we need to be looking at points, we need to be looking at deeper breaks or the creek channels, you know, hint hint, you know, anything that's got a smidge in the current, influx, slightly warmer, anything that's introducing new water into a body of water are places to be looking, because those areas are going to be the prime structure that muskies are going to relate to, just like they do in the summer with the weed beds, right? It's not like the weed, and a lot of anglers struggle with, like, I'm a weed bed fisherman, and when the weed beds are gone, they're in trouble because they don't know where to look, right? The weed beds are dead and gone. Those fish are going to move to structure that's just as important as the weed bed for them, right? They still have the same basic biological needs. They still need to feed themselves. And so there's going to be structural elements that are as dominant as a weed bed is in the summer. So when you're able to hone in on that, whether it be points, whether it be creek beds, whether it be humps, bumps, stumps, rocks, whatever that might be, you need to dial in on that so you're not doing the big search, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm notorious. When we did it this summer, you go out in the summer and you go, well, there's a weed bed. Let's check it out, right? Well, weed bed's comfortable for most musky anglers because they go, I can visually see the weed bed. And I just want to like say, Jay, refer to the structure podcast we did. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, well, how do you find this stuff? Refer to the structure podcast. It becomes a matter of the weeds are gone. What are the structural elements in my body of water that are going to hold fish? Right? Now, the best way to check that is check it with your electronics, whatever you may have, and look for those bait fish. But you can't cover as much water, so you need to be more effective. You know, you're talking about the tube screamer. I guarantee they were moving slow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're coming through these places. They're sifting it out with tubes. They got a sucker hanging off the side of the boat, and the sucker didn't work, and then flip-flop it for the next day. It's one of those scenarios where you have to contact fish to get them into the boat, but we still need to cover that water, but we need to cover less water more effectively, right? I, you know, the horse is beat, but that there you have it, folks. So, you know, beat him to death, folks. This is why Jay's not allowed at the Kentucky Derby. He's a horse beater. That's a real bait. On to this, though. Just to answer this question, there's like 15 that showed up this week. When do you fish, and I'm summarizing, when do you fish a Bondi versus when do you fish bulldogs and Medusas? I'll tell you. My thoughts with Bondi baits are you need to be pretty dialed in to be effective, right?
You mean as an angler?
As an angler, you need to be really dialed in on where they're at. It's an even slower process, even in the summer, right? We're working vertically, so we don't have, you know, you make a cast with a alpha dog. Let's say we get that thing out there 60 feet, right? So we've got from where I'm at to 60 feet away from the boat is covered. We've gave that a look. The Bondi bait, they better be right under the boat. You know, in my case, I'm throwing a 9.6 shield rod. They need to be right under my feet or 9.5 feet away from the boat, right? So if you're out and you're marking fish or you're having contacts and you're good, they're all in the 12-foot break. They're all in the 14-foot break. And you're seeing that the bait and everything is deep. It might be effective to go to a Bondi bait, but it's an even more dialed-in thing because you can't cover distance. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and we're getting to the point in time where, and I've seen it personally. I fished with a guide, Doug from the shop years ago, and you know, the same type of bait. He was using, you know, these Shumway Fuzzy Dozzets, which is an oversized blade bait.
Hey, I'll say
which
this,
which is a vertical jigging
bait,
which
is often forgotten, but is still effective.
Oh, it's a local favorite, you know, in our place, and he caught 3 fish in not even 20 minutes. You know, off of one spot. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
And you know, but that's the type of thing where that bait is so darn deep. No. We were on a lake that wasn't that deep, but you know, a deep porch, a part of that lake structure wise was, you know, 20 feet. And it's like, it was a great point. And you know, the locator showed bait fish, bam, he was on it. But you know, a different, much deeper lake that has, you know, like, let's say you're on a lake, a larger lake that has 80 feet of water in it, you know, bait's down 30 or 40 feet, you know, you're flying over their head with a shallow Medusa.
Right, right. You're not
and
even.
You've got to use a vertical presentation where you're lifting and then dropping that bait slowly with contact the entire time, lifting and then dropping it slowly. They hit it on the fall every time.
And that's the thing is like, you know, I don't look at those baits. I don't look at a bulldog or Medusa, interchangeable, in the same way I look at the vertical jig. But it's easier to do more search and destroy with a bulldog or Medusa.
Yeah.
Right. But once you see a pattern, you can capitalize on that with the big water displacement. You know, it's I've actually heard people even call it like a bulldog jig. Remember that? People would say that back in the day. You don't hear it very much often now, but they're like, bulldog jig. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a vertical presentation, but it's just like.
I think they were looking at the basics of it, you know, the harness. It's like, okay, it's a jig.
It's a jig.
You know.
But, you know, we're still ripping and falling. So if you're looking at the two, use the bulldog to sort of get more dialed in on what's going on there and use the Bondi to dial in. I mean, that would be the best takeaway from that. Now, like I said, I have to personally be really confident in exactly where those fish are with a Bondi bait because it's not a fast bait, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're relegated by how slowly they fall. They fall at pretty much the same rate. You can rip it up fast, but it's going to still fall the same speed. So it's going to be a little slower presentation. If you've got them locked in and you go, like you just said with Doug, they're on a point. Sometimes that's devastating because it's easier mm-hmm. to keep it in their face, right? You can cast them and you can yo-yo them back. That's a whole other freaking podcast on weird Bondi stuff. But, you know, that would be the takeaway there. Anyway, goodness gracious, we're just running and running and running and running on this thing. The other thing that's been coming in this week like crazy is conversations about meat. Jay.
How's about your, what now?
About the meat.
Well, yeah.
Dude, that's why you we need to do this. We're gonna cut the intro when we're done. Muskie Shop, we got the meats. Like Arby's. So remind me when we're done.
Arby's.
Muskie Shop. We got the meats.
Okay, we should try something.
Okay, we're going to do that, folks. You just heard that live because we're stupid. Anyway, the other question, and it's like summarizing everything you've asked this week, all 4,000 of you. How do you rig a sucker?
I've got a tip for you.
I got a tip for you.
And it's actually Al Frost, the Frost Warning. It's his tip.
Lay it on me.
Not like it's revolutionary, but bring a towel into the boat. Just
Holy, back it up, folks. Hit 30 seconds back on your podcast player. Get out the notepad.
Oh, boy.
Bring a towel, folks.
Yep.
Folks, the Muskie Shop has black Muskie Shop towels available now. They are specific sucker handling towels, right?
Thank you, sucker towel.
Okay, that's funny, too, by the way. I killed 9 out of 10 suckers I handled before I had a sucker towel from the Muskie Shop. Thank you, Muskie towel.
Let's do that one instead.
No, I prefer we got the meats down. Don't.
But yeah, the towel thing.
Mm-hmm.
The towel thing. Watch. It's on Jody's blog. Jody Michael has a blog on her website now. A mm-hmm. weekly blog on current fishing conditions and tactics.
I'm going to tell you right now, women's don't know nothing about musky fishing.
No, I disagree.
I'm teasing. She knows a bunch.
Yeah. So, yeah, with this, basically, you're sitting down in your boat, right, when you're rigging. You're not going to be standing up.
I stand up when I rig suckers because I'm a man. If you sit down and rig a sucker, you are not a man.
Well, you should be sitting down. You put the towel there, and you wrap that little sucker in a towel. Wrap them in a towel.
Only women sit down and rig suckers.
It's like a sucker blankie.
Oh, my goodness. The sucker
and
blankie.
That way, it's easier to work on, and he's not squirming around. Put it, kind of lay him on there by your knees, and apply the rig.
Or,
you know, whether.
Or don't be a bitch.
Or try to deal with it in the live well or the cooler or whatever you got in the boat while the
grab
thing's splashing
that thing
around,
like a
and the
freaking
water is
man.
Cold, and your fingers are freezing.
If
no,
you have
the towel method works great.
If you have to use a towel to hold a sucker, you are not a man. I'm teasing. It is convenient. That's actually, it's sad, Jay, because I usually just like jam them between my knees.
You could do that too.
You know, or stand up and rig your sucker like a man. I don't think it matters, folks.
It makes life easy though, and it keeps your hands a lot drier.
Yeah, use a sucker towel.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, we've got him in our sucker towel, right? We have stolen something from our wife's decorative towel collection in the bathroom.
Yep. Use an old one, folks.
Right. So you got him wrapped up in your white snake T-shirt, and now you've got now you got to rig this thing. Nose clip or hooks? What do you think?
The clip method, you know, whether it's Shumway's Easy Clips or whether it's, you know, Smitty and Son, they make the nose rigs. That's what they call them. They both use the same kind of deal. You know, it's this little clip with tension. You spread it open, you put it through the nostrils, done. That's it. You don't have to rig it through the nose, punch anything through there. And you don't have to jam a hook in the lip of the sucker, which might not break free. Generally not a huge issue breaking that free. The breaking issue with sucker rigs, the mistake people make, I think, is putting that treble hook into the side of the sucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be just through the meat a little bit, just barely through the skin so that angle so that when you set the hook that it comes off. And that's going to result in lost fish if it's not done right because the rig's not breaking free.
Well, that's the thing is like you're just driving it deeper into the sucker.
You don't want to do that. Right. Right.
You know, the preferred method, pull a couple scales back, right? You got him in your 1987 Death Leopard shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Pull some scales back and get that sucker in there. We say sucker all the time. Get that hook in that sucker, I should say. Mm-hmm. What's the one rig that has like it has a dedicated little snail hook or snail? How do you say it? The little like bait fish hook.
It's a light hook, like an Aberdeen hook. I mean, Smitty's used those, and you know, I like that really light hook method because even if it does not tear out of the sucker when you set the hook, I mean, you'll straighten it out with today's equipment. You can be using a long, powerful rod with heavy line. Bam! Yeah, stretch.
Yeah, I don't like
that. What you want. You want a really light hook in the front. So some of them use pretty big single hooks, and that could be an issue.
That's the thing is, like, a lot of times you'll see guys rigging it, and they're just sticking, like, a 5-aught in the side of the sucker, which is just more stress on that sucker, in my opinion. Right? Like, if you add a big bullet wound to him, of course he's not going to have action. You know? It's just like, too much.
Yeah, right. The less rig, the less weight is going to make that thing probably swim more natural-like, and you're going to have better success. That's probably the key to it.
That's why I don't even put hooks in my suckers, Jay.
Yeah, some people use, you know, they use rubber bands.
I just let them swim free. I just turn them loose. Be eaten. I'm teasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
catch and release, baby.
Catch and release. Oh, he got hit.
He caught the sucker. I never saw him, but I think he caught it.
I think he got it, boys. It's a win. Now, the less physical impact, they seem to have better action. So just, I like the small little hook setups. I don't like the nose hooks. I don't know why. Like the ones that have like the bigger, like you're saying, like a not a circle hook, but a big bait style hook that's going through the lip. It never seems like it pulls out. It just like rips the sucker's lip off a little bit when you set the hook.
Yeah. And again, it's the same like putting the treble hooks in the side. Just you don't have to have much meat there. You know, just grab a little bit of it when you're putting that hook on there, just enough so that it's not going to tear off once the thing starts swimming. Simple.
The other thing I'd say is this is one hook on one side, one hook on the other.
Yes, that's what most people are going to prefer.
Right. So don't rig both trebles on one side. That's sort of like a rookie mistake you can make, and people do it, and you want to spread that out just in case. So having, you know, having a hook on one side left and one on the right, just so that you've got a little bit better hookup percentage. The other thing with sucker rigs, sharpen the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah. They're not ready to go out of the box.
A lure. Right, you buy a freaking bulldog, you better sharpen the hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Have them laser sharp, just ready to rip. That's I've seen guys do that. They'll pull a new rig out of the box and they just hook it up and they move on. It's just like putting on a new bait, sharpen it up, have it ready to go. I would say this. The other thing is like hook set. People ask all the time, what do you do with a hook set? I like to, because I always put those on a trolling rod, right? So I use the 8-foot Shield trolling rods. I use the Akuma Convectors. Or what's the name? Is it Convector? Convector? I'm retarded.
Yeah, that line coner one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I like it because it's got a really loud clicker. The way I rig those up, though, is I will set the tension on that reel that I can leave the spool open, but the sucker is not falling, right? So I don't want the sucker to be able to take line, but it is an open spool or extremely light drag, if you will, right? So the sucker is going to come up, or the fish is going to come up and grab the sucker, and he's able to turn away from the boat or get away from the boat with little to no tension. But I hear the clicker, right? At that point, I'm going to try to figure out which way he's headed. And I think that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize, like, you've got to sort of have a feel for where he's at, right? Make any sense, Jay?
Yeah, and don't wait.
Yeah.
We talked to somebody. God, I heard this story Monday at work. Somebody was talking about missing a sucker or killing the fish or something like that, where he's like, well, I waited 20 minutes.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Steve and I were just joking about a couple weeks ago about, you know, the old days when they used to use what they called kill rigs, you know.
Right.
And they used to wait for the muskie to digest the musk, you know, the sucker and everything. And yeah, somebody waited just an enormous amount of time. And yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah. You don't wait forever, but you know, my thought is this, is I sort of want to have a feeling like where he's headed a little bit before I hit him, but we're talking, this is a matter of seconds, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to set out of, like, if he's headed away from me and I set back into him, I know I've got him, right? So you don't want him headed towards you and you're pulling it out of his mouth either.
Yeah, yeah. That's the traditional kind of method involved with that is, like, you know, after a few seconds, you notice him turn, and if he starts going away at all, that's the time.
Right.
And clamp down and
nail
set the
it.
Hook hard.
Well, that's the one thing is like the hook set is different. Is, you know, I have mine set up where it can't really pull out any line, right? It's the clicker's going. I'm going to engage that thing. I'm going to drop that rod. I'm going to hammer it, right? Rod tips touching the water, and I'm coming over my head like freaking I'm fishing at a pay lake. You know, it's just like I'm going to hit it so hard because, again, we're talking about the big rubber. You actually have to move real meat through his mouth. Hit it hard. I've seen tons of sucker fish miss from people mamby-pambying that. Right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. And like, if you're fishing some of these really lightweight, there's been a bunch of them that have been on the market, like these lighter weight, like trolling rods and stuff that don't have a lot of backbone. You can't use that as a live bait rod. We actually, the Shield rod is the 8-footer is what it's trolling / live bait for a reason. You know, so it's got a really sensitive tip, but you hammer into that rod, it's going to go boom. It's going to drive them home. So, you know, having that setup where you can drive that bait home and just hammer him is super important because you can't wait. Like you said, Jay, you can't wait 30 minutes. You know, it's going to be
no.
Yeah, or preferably not. If you want it to ever procreate, don't wait 30 minutes. That's probably the biggest thing there. And then, you know, just hammering it. And when I say hammer, rock the boat, hurt him. you know, get it over with. Anyway, goodness gracious, Jay, that is a lot of rubber talk and sucker talk, buddy.
Oh man, I loved it.
Gabbing, folks. I hope it helps. We just had so many questions. We hit it this week. All right, Jay Bird, say goodnight.
Later, guys.
Later.